Okay. Yes, indeed. We're going to try it again. We're going to try and do radio fishing one more time. And we actually made it back. Yay! Yes, okay. We'll actually do the crowd. We'll let the crowd take
it. I was going with the golf clap.
Yeah, I know. I mean, actually, it's like, yeah, you did it. You made it back. Okay, you're on the air. How about doing it a little more often, you lazy buggers, you? We were at the Bonita Beach Boat Show all last week, and we didn't make it back here.
We were all over the county last week.
We were everywhere. We had a kids tournament we did. We had a women's tournament we were involved in. We had the
Bonita Boat Show.
Bonita Boat Show. We have the fishing club going on. We just got really scattered and really thin, and the store's doing unbelievable. We got a lot of people coming into the store.
Yeah.
But Bonita Beach Boat Show was amazing. I mean, we're sitting out there. We get set up, and we're putting all this, and I'm letting other people decide what we're going to do, and everything's kind of good and kind of bad. And thank God we didn't do it my way, because I would have had, you know, 5-10 times the amount of product down there.
Don't let Greg hear you say that.
And yeah, I know. But all of a sudden, 60-70 mile an hour winds hit, and I mean, the tent's blowing, everything's tipping up, everything's falling over, the pegboard things are crashing down onto the ground, and the ground is literally ankle deep in water. Thunder, lightning, poor Carl's jumping around like a frog on a hot plate. Boy, he's up and down, he's trying to get on the chairs, and I finally looked at him, I said, Carl, metal chair, it doesn't do you any good to get up on a metal chair. We're standing in ankle deep water. We got 15 plus people. We've got them up on the higher part where it's a little drier, because they were listening to one of the seminars, you know. I mean, it's raining and the people come in, we're doing the seminars, and all of a sudden the power goes out and we're sitting there in the tent, and it's blowing and raining, the rain's blowing in, the sides of the tent are literally coming up 4 feet.
Wow.
This is a 30 by 30 big heavy aluminum tent, you know, it's not like a little pop-up. And the people had the pop-up and stuff down on the other end where the wind was hitting. I mean, it twisted them, crushed. I felt so bad. That's, you know, like $500 worth of tents just destroyed in an instant.
Right.
But we made it through. And then we picked everything up, put it on tables, dried it out. And it all kind of came around. It was okay. It was a lot of fun at the boat show. We were down next to Marina Mike's and got to know Mike and his dad. And I got to tell you, really nice people at Marina Mike's. I was really impressed.
That's good. Their reputation precedes them.
Well, I've dealt with them years ago. I went down, I bought some stuff from them, but meeting them and talking with them and being next to them at the show for the week really kind of reinforced the friendship. I ordered a motor through them, and I'm getting another outboard, and we're getting some parts for our skiffs and stuff like that. What a great guy to deal with. I was just absolutely impressed, and they got an Epic, and Greg sold three of them for him. This flats boat, it kind of reminds me of the old 18-8 flats in Bay. I mean, it's got that real nice step up, but doesn't have the pad on the back. But if you're looking for a boat that's kind of a flats boat, kind of a bay boat, it's got a really nice the bottom on it. I mean, I don't care what the inside of the boat looks like. Everybody else goes up and they look at the inside. Oh, that's pretty and everything. I'm crawling around underneath this thing. Literally, I got on the ground to look at it. And checking out the chines and work, because I want to know where the water's going to go.
It's kind of the most important part of the whole boat.
And it's got a nice step and everything else. And I was actually pretty impressed with the underside. So I went up and really started checking out, like everybody else, the top and the T-top and all this other stuff. Really impressed with that Epic. And it's a midpoint boat. It's priced more like a Key West or a Key Largo, you know, those Sea Hunts and all those. Sea Hunt's actually crawling the price up there, so I'm not as enthused with that anymore. But I like those middle point boats. They put more glass into them. The higher end boats seem to want to put bends in it to make it strong, and then they don't use any glass in it.
Right.
Because they want to make them lighter and lighter and lighter. Well, there's only so much light I want in a boat. I want that hull heavy. I want to be able to hit it with a hammer and not break it.
Right.
That's an Epic. I was really, really impressed with that. And we got to know the factory guy from all that. And it's just weird because there's not a lot of boats you get impressed with anymore.
No.
And it's a middle point, 30-some thousand to 40-some thousand. So it's not, you know, it's not extravagant like some of the boats. Because, I mean, let's face it. I mean, I'm seeing flats boats for $60,000, $80,000. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Give me a break.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
I'm sorry. I'm going to go out and buy another house before I buy that in a boat, you know? So, anyway, not bad. But, yeah, I had a great time with Marina Mikes. We've been on the phone together a couple times since. Really nice friend. I mean, good guy. So, anyway, we're talking about that. We're going to talk about fishing. Where do you want to start? We haven't had a fishing report up. I'm getting emails, calls. There's no fix, no addiction out there. You know, Robert and Guy come in. What do you say?
He said if you're going to start somebody on an addiction, you need to at least keep up with it.
Yes, and we're sorry. Our goal is to, once the tent sale's done this week, we got so much stuff going on for the tent sale. We got so many factories coming, and we won't bore you with all that until probably later. I'll probably throw it in later. But just crazy. I mean, this has been
one. Well, between the tent sale, the customers coming in, and business-wise, it's been
wonderfully chaotic.
Yes.
So, yes. But our goal is once the tent sale is done to have every single person working here, which is like 13 or 16, to do a radio show, you know, in twos or threes or whatever. We want to get everybody so you can get to know all the guys and the people and, you know, what they're like. And we're going to try and get a radio show with everybody once a week. So that's going to be a lot of darn shows. You're going to put up with me a lot after this. All right, back to the fishing. Where are we starting?
Well, let's start up on the river.
All
right. Work our way down.
On the river. Big snook, nice snook up on the river.
Yeah, and the
Goliath grouper.
Yeah,
Goliath grouper up in the Peace River right
now.
Doesn't
surprise me. So salty up there. I mean, those juveniles always seem to move up there in the late winter and kind of pop up in the spring. The part that surprises me is how many snook have showed up like instantly because they really haven't cooperated all winter up there the way they normally do.
No, usually it's the best winter fishing spot in the world for snook.
I mean, even if you don't see them, the guys are catching them trolling, drifting, fishing in general. And this year's been so quiet up there, and all of a sudden it's like a balloon popped and they're everywhere. It's kind of bizarre.
I'm glad Barb's working the warehouse today. I can have a smoke and relax while we do the show.
Right?
I should say, I love her to death.
The way this day's going?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The redfish have started to pop up there, really pretty decent numbers. Not phenomenal, but definitely...
You can catch fish up there.
Yeah.
The docks along Harbor Heights are doing pretty good, but actually the docks over by Punta Gorda are doing way better right now.
Yeah. And then there's some tarpon starting to show themselves a little bit more. This time of year, the tarpon, they're always up there, but you just don't see them because, one, the water temperature is cool enough. They don't have to roll to gulp the air to survive. So
just up from Harbor Heights where the power lines are, find a deep spot around the power lines, throw some catfish tails out, and you got a better than even shot of getting your nice tarpon, your first big tarpon.
Yeah.
You're the big fish up there. I mean, 60, 80, 100, 150 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
So
full-blown adult tarpon. There's no question about it. It's not the juvenile canal tarpon. These are
actually big fish.
Year-round resident adult breeding size fish.
Yeah. So going up around the Port Charlotte canals, I'm hearing snook doing pretty good.
Snook are doing pretty good, but they're mostly up towards the mouths of the canals, not as far back as they normally would be.
Well, they're getting ready to spawn.
Yeah, they're getting ready to get into that migration pattern to head off out to the Gulf and all that good stuff. The mangrove snapper, same thing. There's a lot of sand bream have started to show up in the last probably week or so from people catching them in the canals.
Number six hook, just like you would for bluegills. Piece of peeled shrimp meat under a bobber, about 6 inches off the bottom, and you'll catch those sand bream. Great eating. Consider it a saltwater crappie.
Yeah, exactly.
Excellent
fish. Even have a mouth similar to them.
Yeah, and if the whole mouth of the fish pulls way out and it's striped and you got the whole big mouth pulling out, that's the sand bream, mohara, silver jenny. That goes by 100 different names, but it's there. Over towards the Micah Cutoff's
got a lot of redfish and snook in it right now. Some very good sized redfish and snook in it. The trout have kind of moved out. They're more out front in a little bit deeper water, but the redfish and snook all over inside the cutoff doing really, really good. Some decent-sized mangrove snapper. Some of the sheep's head are starting to move out of those back canals off of Midway, cutting through all those mangroves and those little mosquito ditches and stuff, so you're seeing a handful of those moving through there, and they're fairly good-sized fish.
Now, on the outside of Hog Island in the river, I'm hearing sharks over there, Spanish mackerel, a little bit
sharks.
Of bluefish.
Small sharks. There's even some pompano up there on the bar there on the Hog Island side in that big grass flat.
And up towards Algebeen, the snook fishing has been going crazy at night.
Yeah, there's been some really, really big trout too at night. big snook and big trout. Trout during the daytime has been pretty lousy bite, but the nighttime has been producing some bigger fish, you know, in the 25, 28 inch range.
Occasional cobia, steady, but there's cobia there.
Yeah, I mean, if the sharks are around, the cobia are going to be around. So if you get an occasional shark, don't be surprised by the occasional cobia. And then there's also been some tarpon starting to move around a little bit there, but not so much.
And if you're going down the bar down the west side, you got still quite a bit of mackerel up on the bar, a few bluefish. Haven't heard much pompano on the west side, though.
There's been scattered reports. It's like you hear one guy gets into a little tiny nut of them, and then you don't hear anything at all for the rest of the week. And then you get two guys hit a little batch of them. They're very, very small, loose schools, and I think they're moving around a lot. Like a lot of these fish right now, it's been fluctuating so much with the water temperature.
Right, cold.
And these tides have been pushing in small groups of bait that I think they're following the food source around and just haven't figured out where to stage up at.
Yeah. A lot of redfish back up along the mangroves on the west side. Mm-hmm. Pockets of them here and there. Hard to find a parking space a lot of times on the west side this last week or two.
Oh, we had that IFA going on and who knows what other tournaments going on top of gorgeous.
Junior Flats Master, there was the Ladyfish Tournament, there was a kids tournament, there was last weekend was a nightmare. This week will be a lot better.
Well, and it's been phenomenal weather. I mean, let's face it,
minus something, and I saw the snow this morning on the Weather Channel. It's miserable up north.
It's not your typical March, you know. No, normally miserable. March is usually pretty cool and windy as all get-go. I mean, today we have a front going on, obviously, so it's a little brutal, but...
Tomorrow's supposed to be a little iffy to get out there. Yeah, that snowbank.
There's our poster child.
Is that Andrew?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, he didn't send me that picture.
I woke up this morning to that.
Andrew and the snowbanks are taller than him.
Don't know where he's at, but that's what I woke up to this morning.
I'm going to have to beat that little boy. He didn't even text me that picture. I'm going to have to beat him.
I don't know when he sent it. I mean, I woke up this morning at 5 and my phone was on and that was on there. But
Turtle Bay. Cape Hayes.
Cape Hayes. That whole bar out there on the Cape Hayes bar is lit up really, really good with a lot of bonnet heads. Some nice Spanish mackerel, bluefish, pompano, trout.
If you want huge mangrove snappers, go out way out on the bar where it's dropping off 4 to 6 foot out there. Mm-hmm. Some big mangroves out there. Yeah. Wow.
The biggest problem that's been over there, though, is the flipper. Flipper has been...
Oh, yeah. Once the dolphins find you...
Harassing everybody there. You know, so the good news is that there's 20 boats fishing the area, so he's jumping from one to the other, so he's not sticking around very long. Along the trough there on the entrance, on basically paralleling into Turtle Bay, same thing's going on. You know, there's been some really, really good pompano and trout running right along that edge there going into Turtle Bay. And then if you want some better fish, you know, going into Turtle Bay, right there at the entrance where the PVC posts are at.
I have no idea what that is.
No idea.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Segway. No, that's just a squirrel. That's not even a segue. That's it's like the old Bugs Bunny Roadrunner. I should have turned left at Albuquerque.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
Okay, go ahead.
Right at the entrance of Turtle Bay, there's been some good redfish at those PVC stakes, and even to that little lagoon off to the right there. There's been a few redfish in there, but mainly right along the edges of the bushes just before it opens up into that little pond. And then up on the inside of Turtle Bay, along those grass flats heading back towards the real deep channel, there's been some... Wow, getting abducted. some bigger redfish moving around on those grass flats. They've kind of moved out of those deeper troughs back there and started to mill around up on the grass beds themselves.
So, where are we at now? Bull Bay?
Bull Bay is doing really good. There's a lot of redfish and snook in the backside.
If you get up by the clam beds, you got some really nice snook fishing back there.
Yeah, up towards the, what is that, the, how am I doing, Whidden Bay, basically. Mm-hmm. All through there.
Towards the tailing flats and all that out there. How are the reds doing out in that tailing flats?
They've been really slow. They've been real slow. I don't know why. You know, it's kind of odd because this is definitely prime time for them, and they have not really showed up this year that I'm aware of.
And what's weird is when we get to the beaches, and we're going to talk about the beaches, but huge redfish right off the beach.
I mean,
10, 15 feet of water, you got these 40-inch redfish out there. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I've never seen this before.
Yeah.
Weird.
Right at the entrance of Bull Bay, out front, Pompano and Sheepshead in the main deep channel.
Yeah.
You know.
What do you want?
What is it?
Ricks.
Yeah. I'm going to say, hey, what do you think?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Sorry, doing bait orders. This is such a well-organized show.
Yeah.
All right. And
going out along the intercoastal, heading up towards Placida and Lemon Bay, all those fish like around Placida right now, the Sheepshead are really, really doing well because they're moving out of all the canals, out of the back bays. So you're starting to see a good mixed variety of fish of all assorted sizes. Mangrove snapper, some jacks, some small sharks, you know, kind of a plethora of fish going on there. The trickiest one is Lemon Bay. You know, all those snook are moving out of the canals, but the fish
I'm going to say Lemon Bay is going to be a really kind of a hot spot.
Oh, it's definitely doing good.
No, I mean for big snook, because once you're talking Lemon Bay, this time of year, these snook all start piling up in the intercoastal. They're all starting to line up to get to the passes, cruising the beaches. First thing in the morning, late at night, now's the time when I start walking the beach looking for snook. But go out knee-deep and cast parallel to the shore.
Yeah.
My best fishing for snook is if I have a boat, I go along, I throw the lure up onto the sand and drag it right off the sand out into the water, because that's where you're getting those big hits from those big snook.
Right. And a lot of people don't realize a lot of our snook in our area that come out of like Whidden Creek, they all expect them to go out of Little Gasparilla and Boca, and quite a few of them do, but there's a good percentage of those fish that actually do head north and go out of Stump Pass.
Oh yeah, Stump Pass, Venice Inlets, all those. In the next couple months, it's going to be amazing up there.
Yeah.
We get so many snook. And
there's so many.
The good thing is we're getting little bits of rain.
Right.
And that little bit of rain will get those snook out of the backcountry. The problem we have is they're going to try and spawn at the mouth of a canal, up in the river. As soon as they hit enough salt, we get that little bit of rain. It'll get them out to the Barrier Islands, because the snook can spawn in those places, no problem, but the eggs don't hatch.
Right.
You need the salt.
High enough salinity.
So, you know, this is going to be a good year. We're getting just enough rain to get them out there where they need to be.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and plus the other thing I think that's going to help is all those Spanish sardines that are just off the beaches. They're still scattered out there.
Unbelievable.
But there's also a couple guys have been seeing fry hatch out there that they can't identify. They're like the ones that were inside the harbor just about 3 weeks ago.
Right.
They're starting to see that scattered all up and down the beaches.
I wonder what the heck these things are.
From a mile to 4 miles out.
That's okay. You can cough. Here, I'll turn down your microphone. Cough. Good. Okay. The finger.
Frog in the throat.
Yeah.
They've just been seeing a lot of little fry out there. So that's kind of getting things going a little bizarrely as far as the bonita, some Spanish mackerel, king mackerel. All those are kind of starting to move in closer to the shore. But I think that's going to drive some of those snook out there off a little bit quicker because
what's wrong? Come on, you're acting like I'm messing with you. So it's driving the snook out over there. Go
ahead. Is that Raina Subaqua vocalist?
Yes.
Or is it Bufo Marinus?
Okay.
What do you think of that?
Okay.
Cane toad. What else? Let's go out into the Gulf, because, I mean, all along the beaches right now, you've got Spanish mackerel, some mangrove snapper at all the nearshore reefs in the harder gravelly bottom. Sheepshead are starting to stack back up on them that are leaving the inside. The grunts are doing absolutely amazing.
Lots of Spanish mackerel out there. You can tell from the music. Go ahead. Spanish mackerel.
Really? That sounded more Arabic to me.
Oh,
That was a good try.
It was a try.
Off the cuff, that was a pretty good shot.
Yeah, well, you know.
I was waiting for a belly dancer to come through. No, not you. Sorry. Kings are starting to show up out there. Bonita are starting to show up. Not a lot of kings, but the few kings that are starting to show up here, they're starting to get some bigger ones. Some
we still hearing Amberjack?
25 and 30 pounds. Yeah.
The I've AJs been gone for a week, so.
Brian Ball was out day before yesterday with Doug and a couple of his buddies, and they did phenomenal on AJs in about 85 to 90 feet of water. They did lousy on the red grouper, but tore up some really good quality AJs. Some good mangrove snappers. Had several other customers that have been seeing some small to medium-sized sharks out there. Good mixed variety of stuff.
Somebody found a shark.
Oh, shark found somebody.
I don't know. I don't know where that one came from.
That was good.
Okay, good.
Then coming back into the passes, same thing. You're starting to see some Spanish, a few oddball kings, a lot of mangrove snapper in Boca Pass, Little Gasparilla Pass, and Captiva Pass. Some very
quality fish. You
do realize
this was your fault, don't you?
Which part?
Well, you're the one to put the moonshine in the refrigerator for me.
Nice.
It wasn't my fault. It was your fault.
How many fingers am I holding up?
Okay. Did everybody get that? You had three.
That was
all
good.
Of them in his hand. Yeah, okay.
Down into the sound, you know, coming in through the passes if you want to get into some big mangrove snapper fish, those passes. Some big, big ladyfish in the passes, too, right now. And then down in part of the intercoastal all the way down to St. James City along the bushes and some of those oyster bars, redfish are doing really, really well. Snook are starting to pop up out there a little bit more. Pompano are scattered all over throughout there, but it's just like the West Wall. Little tiny batches of them, kind of just... Yeah. You better be prepared for them and go to town on it because it's going to be very short-lived.
Now, they're still doing some sharks down by Ponarasas, Annabelle?
Yeah, a lot of bonnet heads and a few black tips and spinner sharks. Starting to see some juvenile lemon sharks in that 2 to 5 foot range cruising around on the flats. Stingrays are horrible down there. They are really... all over the place,
and they're like
that dinner plate size, so they're very, very tricky. So for the wade fishermen down there anywhere in the sound, be super, super, super careful right
now.
Don't
lift your toes off the bottom
always,
because you can kick a little stingray with your toe, I mean barefoot, and he'll just swim right off. You put your foot in his back, he's gonna let you know he's down there.
Yeah, yeah, know? they've been very, very populated down there.
Yeah, that would have been one of those for this one.
Yeah.
Stingrays. Yeah. Okay. So anyway.
The whitebait is scattered throughout the intercoastal.
Whitebait at Jug Creek Shoals,
Jug
yeah.
Creek Shoals, Devilfish.
Maybe a little bit up by Sandfly.
A little bit. The majority of it actually has been closer to Placida. It's actually been more consistent around the Placida area. Everywhere yeah. south of Placida has
the
been
boat ramps.
Super inconsistent. You know,
right
there
out
today,
in front of the boat ramp channel,
tomorrow.
And then right along the causeway there.
Actually, the little Gasparilla Causeway.
Yep.
And that the south channel, I guess, from Placida.
I don't know. It's the one right along next to the roadway there.
Yeah, the one on the other side of Dog Island, basically. Yep. That channel over there. Mm. There's a lot of whitebait over there.
And it's really working right now. Where you need to have whitebait with you, but you need to still have some shrimp with you.
Yeah, you better have shrimp with you. If you don't, I don't care what size it is. It's just, it's working so well most of the time that...
But you put the shrimp on the Rockport Rattler, you bounce along the bottom, and you get all these other kinds of fish, and then you throw the white bait out, and you get different kinds of fish.
Mm-hmm.
It's the more types of bait you can have. Try and have blue crabs. If you see that big school of redfish, I mean, if you see some blue crabs swimming around, net them up, get them in the boat, because those big redfish are eating those big blue crabs. And especially if you're around the Gulf or intercoastal right now. I mean, there's some... They should have left a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
A month or two ago. And they're still here. I mean, up to 40-inch redfish.
Right.
Crazy fishing this year. Crazy good. But...
It's hard to predict. That's the hardest part because it's so many variables going on for no apparent reason.
Yeah, it's weird.
You know, that we just... You know, normal... A normal year, you've been doing this so long, you've got it dialed in. You've taught me so well, I've got it fairly dialed in. But every now and then, Mother Nature throws you for a loop, no matter what the water temperature is, no matter this, no matter what. The fish don't know the same rules all the time, and sometimes they just show up and basically throw a monkey wrench in the whole situation.
Well, it's a monkey wrench year, because you got a week where the weather's perfect and the fishing is great, and then everything gets a little weird, and then the fishing gets okay, and then it gets great, and then it's okay, and then, you know, it's back and forth.
They were catching permit 3 weeks ago steadily. In a couple locations for like 5 days, a couple guys just were whacking them good, and now you haven't heard a single report for a little bit.
Yep.
You know, your big bull reds. You know, that's usually a November thing when the guys are out there trolling for king mackerel and grouper. They usually destroy them.
Yeah, that's when you get the big redfish.
Here it's usually just an oddball incidental catch. You don't catch a few of them. You hear like one guy caught one.
Right.
You don't hear multiple guys catching one or two or three. It's weird. So it's kind of neat.
Getting up St. James City, going up towards Mat Lache, I haven't heard much, any reports from the Caloosahatchee, although I know there's a lot of big snook up there. The trout should be in there, but I'm not getting reports. We're going to get much better reports from Estero, Lemon Bay, or in the Caloosahatchee.
Yeah, anybody that lives down there, feel free to email Frank or call the shop and ask for Frank or Robert.
I've got about 40 emails to answer today.
We will try to take care of it as best we can, because that helps us very much with the radio show, the newspapers,
I got to get a computer guy in here to figure out what's wrong with my email, because I'm not getting half of them, and I'm getting some of them a week, 2 weeks later. So still having big problems with the email thing.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I think I'd be doing better with passenger pigeons or carrier pigeons at this point.
Right.
So anyway, we'll figure that out. Try to get that up.
Going up through St. James City toward Two Pines. Yeah.
Yeah.
Two Pines. Why do I always get those two backwards all the time?
Two Pines, you got St. James City, bottom of Pine Island, and you got Mat Lache where you cross over in the bridge, and Two Pines is right up the north end across from the island on the mainland side.
All through there, basically, from Two Pines over to Boquilla, there's Spanish mackerel and bluefish scattered throughout the main channel part of it, but as you get on the inside, just on top of the grass flats, some nicer trout, not very many, but they're better quality fish. There's a lot of pinfish down there on the grass flats, so if they're looking for some good cut bait or live bait to head offshore with or inside, doing pretty good on those.
Right.
Coming up along the shoreline there, along Burnt Store, the south side of Burnt Store, there's been some scattered redfish and scattered snook out there on the bar up to the mangroves.
Outside the bar, too. Look, the pompano it's sporadic, but it's still steady down there between Two Pines and Burnt Store.
Yeah. The snook are real good right at the Burnt Store channel.
Right.
Some nicer redfish and bigger snook as you move up from the North Island there up to Hobbs Point. There's been a lot of really nice snook and redfish cruising along that. Like, if you parallel yourself to the outside edge of that North Island, working your way up the shoreline, those fish are kind of following that little drop off pretty steady. Been a ton of bonnet heads, too.
When I want to try over there, because we're getting that fairly often for a couple months of the year where you can go those islands outside of Burnt Store and then work right up along the bar. I want to try trolling for them. I want to use a side planer with an 08 Rapala behind it.
That would be kind of a cool idea.
And I could keep the boat 30, 50 feet out onto the deeper water,
right,
not spooking the fish, and just run that side planer along, go about 10, 15 feet behind it with that 08 Rapala.
That would be a pretty good idea.
Well, by the time you make the knot in that 30-pound fluorocarbon, the lip is very minimal at that point,
right,
because the knot's covering most of it up, and it would only go, you know, 12 inches, 10 inches deep.
Right.
And you could just pull that right along there. I bet you could whack the heck out of the snook doing that. Been thinking about doing that because we got some side planers here that we could play with, and I really want to try that.
That would be a pretty good time. That would be interesting to see.
See if it works or not.
Yeah.
So.
Bonnet heads are all over down there. I mean, literally from Burnt Store up to Pirate Harbor. Actually, they're kind of pretty much scattered all along the whole east wall.
All the way up to Alligator Creek.
Yeah. There's a lot of trout there around the ice house, but most of them are on the smaller side.
As you get north, staying right inside the bar, there's a lot more trout up there.
Yeah.
And inside the bar, but I mean 15 feet inside the bar.
Yeah.
They're real right. close to the sandbar, but they're bigger, better numbers. Big, huge, giant redfish. Hard to find a keeper. As you get back you've got the sandbar, the flats, then you've got all those island keys and the mainland back on the backside.
Right.
Any of those creek going into the mainland have really got some monster reds back there. Right. Hard to get to, hard to find. I mean, you're going to be doing a Lewis and Clark and take your GPS because you're going to want to know how to get out.
Right.
You know, you get back behind those islands, it gets nuts back there.
Yeah, and there's even really, really big snook back
there. I'm not going to do the Lost Indian Tribe call. Almost came out. I'm like, wait up. Oh, no, no, I can't do that one. This is radio. But I really thought about it. I was just a hair's breadth. I thought, well, if Greg was here, I know he would do it.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'd be learning how to do beeps on a darn thing. I haven't figured that out yet. So keep it clean, Robert. I don't know how to beep this yet.
No problem.
Okay.
Alligator Creek Reef. Lots of Spanish mackerel on it. They're still in that same weird crap pattern where they're wanting shrimp. They're right. taking shrimp faster than they are anything else, whether you're trolling or not.
What's
over
weird
it.
Is they're actually better with the bigger shrimp. And, yeah, you know, like, choice and selects.
Yeah.
Usually, regulars to choice would be my first thought. Get those on the sheephead and you do better. But they're actually, I think they're, I don't know if there's two, three hitting at a time or whatever, but they're actually a little bit bigger shrimp's actually better.
Yeah, I don't get it. It's been a little bizarre. A lot of smaller cobia on it. Very few bigger ones, but quite a few smaller cobia. The sheep's head have moved out of the, you know, some of those back creeks and canals and stuff, and they're starting to stack up on that a little bit. Mangrove snapper are starting to show up a little bit, but it's going to be any day now. I'd say as close as it gets to this full moon, we'll start to see those 2 and 3 pound mangroves moving up on that reef the way they normally do in late March, early April.
Out towards the middle, we got a lot of Spanish mackerel through the holes.
Bluefish.
And there's tarpon in the harbor.
Yeah, there's been tarpon all the way down through the sound. They just, you got to look for them because they're not rolling.
They're not rolling, but they're along the west side, the east side. They're through the intercoastal down by the Captiva Rocks. There's tarpon down there from Two Pines. It's got a bunch of tarpon out in front of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the tarpon even are here. They're even hard the to
pass,
find.
The pass has got tarpon in it. It's had tarpon in and out of it for the last 3 weeks. They just, they're
finicky.
They're very finicky, more so than tarpon normally are. So if you really feel like frustrating yourself, go for it.
I'm going to say cut bait.
But be prepared to spend a lot of time. I'm going to have to agree with you on that. I'd either be throwing cut bait at them or really, really big shrimp if you can get them. You know, shrimp are always my first choice for big tarpon this time of year. Yeah, when they first show up, I want shrimp from a select all the way up to a jumbo if I can get it.
Yeah.
The juvenile tarpon, though.
It's right when the tarpon are showing up, when the shrimp are all leaving. So what the best bait is big shrimp. I mean, they eat big shrimp like nothing else.
Right.
But it gets harder and harder to find the big shrimp.
Right.
So, you know, we order 8,000 shrimp, we're probably going to get 4 dozen, 10 dozen.
If you're lucky.
If we're lucky, big shrimp. It's really getting tough. But if we can get them, it's really, people never think shrimp and tarpon. I don't know.
No, I don't get it either. I mean, I think it was Phil Duggar was probably one of the first ones that showed me that when I first started working here. You know, I mean, just going at it, you know. And Dwayne, a lot of times he'll take shrimp with him almost on every tarpon trip just to cover his butt.
Oh, and speaking of shrimp, there is some decent shrimping going on right now. If
hey,
you've got lights,
I got something for you that's weird that I heard.
Go
Mike
ahead.
Mahan telling me today, Tommy, I forget his name, he's a shrimper out here in the harbor,
right?
And this is good, bad, basically bad. Caught 4 of those tiger shrimp. The ones that, the non-native tiger shrimp that they've been talking about, they've caught a couple up in Tampa and in the Panhandle area. He caught 4 of them
the
other night.
Are those green looking ones?
They're big. They get like 11, 12 inches. Wow. They're real dark
are
with
they
very
edible?
Black. Yeah. Yeah. He turned them into the Game and Fish, so to let them know about them, and I guess they're going to find out.
We've been getting those on and off for years. Those dark, they're
these
dark
are,
green with the black on them?
Yeah, but these are different. They're tiger shrimp is what they're called.
Where are they from?
Mexico, I believe, on the Pacific side.
Really?
If I'm not mistaken, it's either that or it's a Malaysian tiger shrimp, one of the two, but I think it's a Mexican
what
tiger shrimp from
here?
The other coast.
In the ballast of ships, I guess.
Probably, that would be my guess.
just, you know, being boats going into Miami, into the ports, into Tampa, into the ports, and blow the ballast out.
Carnival cruises, all the cruise ships, all that stuff that go over there. I mean, it's just, you know, the spread of, well, there's a goby up in the Great Lakes that was spread that way. The zebra mussels were spread that way. The lamprey, all that stuff, you know, ballasts of ships and... Yeah. On top of the morons that have stuff in their fish tanks that decide to let it go.
That I don't get.
No.
I'm sorry. Do the world a favor. Kill the little sucker.
Yeah.
Knock him out. If you don't want him anymore, don't give him to the rest of us.
Yeah. Donate it to the pet store or kill it.
Yeah.
You know.
That's a good idea. Take it to the pet store and say, here, you can have this. Sell it. Make free money.
Exactly.
So, good idea. Much more pleasant than me going, kill the dang thing.
Well, either way, as long as it doesn't become an environmental problem, and usually that's what happens. People have the best intentions of let's let Nemo go, and then it turns out to be a serious environmental problem. Because I'm sorry, animals from the Indo-Pacific do not belong in the Caribbean.
Right.
You know, there's no natural predators. There's no checks and balances. You know, people want to kill everything for some apparent reason.
Well, look at the Mayan cichlids, the Oscars that actually saved the Everglades. I mean, at one point, there was just no fish left there.
There's no food for the alligators, for crying out loud. They're starving to death down there, and this is...
Well, that's why I don't understand why people don't like the pythons. I mean, the boas and the pythons in the glades, it's just gator food. At least the poor guys ain't going to starve to death.
Right.
You know, I mean, you get one snake big enough to wrestle a gator. The rest of them is just lunch, you know.
Right.
And poor gator's eating snails trying to stay alive. Now they got something else they can go after.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I don't know. Anyway, going back to it, I think we've rounded around the harbor. We got to do PGI canals.
PGI canals are doing really, really good. There's a lot of juvenile tarpon up in there, and they're actually been cooperating this past week. Anywhere from 10 to 30 pounders. Guys have been catching them on, some of the guys have been coming in here getting them on shrimp. A couple guys have been getting them on pinfish. Some of the guys are just kind of throwing everything in their tackle box, like we always say, everything but this kitchen sink.
To me, the rattle traps and the small mavericks, those are two I use a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I want to try that scatter wrap on one.
That would be kind of interesting.
Slow roll on that scatter wrap, you know, just kind of slow cranking it with that scatter wrap shad. I really want to try that. I haven't. Some of the things I'm going to do this year, you know, I'm kind of getting up.
You got a big list. You got to start taking some of the other irons out of the fire.
Well, that's my goal, is to get all this stuff, you know. We're going to start having Carl as a regular thing at the fishing club, or maybe you, and we're going to try and get some more stuff come up. So, you know, try and reinvent this whole wheel again.
Right.
But anyway, this is a radio fishing show. Anything else we got to do?
Not that I can think of. I think that's pretty much about it.
And we are going to make every attempt to not have this gaps in the space between the shows. So I'm hoping to get 6, 8, 10 shows a week. You know, it's a lot of fun doing these things.
That's pretty ambitious.
Yeah, well, I mean, if I plan on doing 6, 8, 10, and I get 3 to 5, I'm really good.
Okay, let's do that for April.
Yeah. So,
okay. Because we got still 2 more weeks of chaos.
Well,
and then it peters out to very nice and just
after Easter, everything slows down. But you know, for all you guys up north, we never really did slow down last year at all.
Right. No,
but that's great.
Oh, no,
I mean, how many years did we?
There was many days where you and I were throwing darts at each other to keep awake.
So it's really nice having these problems.
Yes,
I know I got a fishing song in the background,
Tent Sail.
Oh, the tent sale. This is going to be, this Saturday is the coolest day ever. We bought 5 more casting tanks today. We've got a bunch of casting tanks. Every lure company gets a casting tank. You get to watch Mark Nichols throw DOAs. Eric Bostovic from Mirror Lures. You get to watch Eric throw Mirror Lures. The guys from Lick'em Lure are going to be throwing Lick'em Lures. We've got Charles from Rockport Rattler coming. We got Jim from Rapala Heddon, or Rapala Storm, the Storm Baits. I mean, our number one selling lure this year was the Storm Twitchin'.
Right.
And he's going to be out there with that. And then the Scatter Wrap, you're going to see all these things going on. Too cool. And Gary Loomis in the parking lot selling TFO rods. We've got a great selection. If you want a fly rod, a spinning rod, fly reels, Gary's going to be out there in the parking lot with all that stuff.
And stop down and see the phenomenal thing that Penn is doing that we're not allowed to talk about.
And
well, it's worth Quantum's, it just for that surprise.
Yeah, Quantum's
is doing
be there.
A phenomenal thing.
And Penn last year gave 15%, 20%, and 30% off of their reels. Mike Rice, the president of Penn, is coming back doing those spectacular deals again, plus the new super unbelievable deals of a lifetime he's going to do this year. It's absolutely amazing. We're not allowed to talk about it, but he's doing it, and Penn is going off the hook this year. And we've got Barry, the owner of Star Rods, is going to be here, and Barry's going to be here giving discounts on the best rod in Florida, Star Rods. I mean,
absolutely.
There's just TFO, Star, Penn. I mean, this is just too cool. You got to show up Saturday. Try and get here somewhere between 7, 8 o'clock and by 3
be
o'clock.
Be prepared to be patient. Take your time.
Bring fishing stories to tell the guy next to you, because you're going to probably wait a little bit. But, I mean, the coolest lineup, but unfortunately, we'd love to be able to tell these guys they have to work a 12-hour day or a 10-hour day. But when you're the president and CEO of Penn, it's pretty hard to tell him he's got to work a 10-hour day. You know, they're going to be here as long as they can. But try and get here before 3 o'clock. Charles from Rockport Rattler's got to leave by then. And a lot of these guys, they come down to do the show, meet you guys, talk, give great deals. And Robert and I, 6-7 years ago when we started this, we wanted you to have the same experience that we did. Talk to the owner of the manufacturers, talk to the owners of the businesses, get to meet the people who actually make the decision on what we fish with.
Absolutely.
Not just some fishing guy dressed up like he works for the factory.
Yeah, tell them what you love about it. Tell them what you don't love about it. Be honest with them. You know, pick their brains, ask questions, because, I mean, they will. Yeah. They are receptive.
And you still have 2 days to come in and kick the tires. We get tons of people that are making lists, figuring, okay, I want this and that. We're going to tell you what we know about the deals. A lot of the deals we don't get to find out till the owner shows up, because this is a factory sale at the base of it. It's a tent event. Yeah. It's a tackle show, but it is a factory sale at its heart. And
absolutely.
You know, we need to you guys to come in and help support this and keep it going. You know, you get great deals and you get to meet all these cool people. What more could, I mean, I'm excited and I've done
absolutely.
It before.
Exactly. You
know? So anyway, Fish and Frank and Robert, I guess we're going to get out of here. The producer's turning the music off means I've run too long.
Say goodbye, Frank.
Goodbye, Frank.